want to ask you to turn to the book of Lamentations. It's right after Jeremiah, chapter 3. I've been preaching through Isaiah, the highlights. I'm going to take a little hiatus from that this morning. I hope this is God's will. Lamentations, and I need your prayers that the Lord will help me control my emotions and everything else. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Lamentations, right after Jeremiah. I love you very much. Do you hear me? Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. And I kind of wish all of y'all had the chance to read the book of Lamentations this week. It's Jeremiah writing about how terrible things were with the city of Jerusalem, how it was going to be destroyed, how God was chastising it, and things were bad. It was real bad. And sometimes we look around us and we think things are bad, don't we? Sometimes we do. Verse 22, are you there? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That is my subject, if I have one this morning. Great is thy faithfulness. This is saying that God's faithfulness is very great. It is not saying that our faithfulness is very great. Is it? How is it that we survive to this moment as individuals? How is it that we survive to this moment as families? That we survive to this moment as a church and as a nation? It's because of the mercy of Almighty God. It is because of his faithfulness. I love the fact that God is faithful. What that means is God does what he says. God does what he wants to do. Aren't you glad? You know, we're not faithful to do even what we should do. Even something you want to do. How faithful are we? Well, then we're pretty pathetic. That's terrible to say, isn't it? That's terrible. But I mean, when you think about God and about us, great is thy faithfulness. Now, I want to make a couple of remarks here very quickly about how faithful God is to us in our daily lives in a timely way. But the main thing I want to talk about, if the Lord would bless, is how God is faithful to save his people. So the timely, but then the eternal lesson is the main one I want. But let me quote you a couple here without telling you where they are for the sake of time, because I know you want to turn there. You're wonderful. If we confess our sins, okay, great is thy faithfulness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can you say amen? And that is not talking about you asking to go to heaven. That is talking about a child of God who is convicted of his or her sin, who goes to God and in remorse and regret and even horror at how we've offended God, we say, "Oh Lord, will you forgive me, please, for what I've done?" And it may even be something that we did on purpose. When you go to God in that sense and you ask for forgiveness of sins, I'm telling you, great is the faithfulness of God to forgive you your sins. How many times can you do this? Infinite number of times. And God is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That is a gospel blessing. Are you with me? I'm telling you right now, none of us for our sin, even in this life. If I had got, you know, you know what the Bible says in the Old Testament about children who wouldn't obey their parents? You know what the Bible says about that? In the Old Testament, the mom and dad had the right to take them in front of the council and they would be stoned to death. That's what would have happened to me if I'd have gotten what I deserved. When I was 8, if I'd have made it that far. Let me quote you another one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That means, first means priority. What is your top priority? You hear me? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you believe that? God is faithful to execute that promise to you in your life. If you seek God first, put Him first, and He needs to be first in every area of our lives. Say amen. That's why we worship on the first day of the week, by the way. Did you know that's why we worship on the first day of the week? By the way, today, the weekend is already over. The weekend is over. This is the first day of the week. And here we are in God's house. Hallelujah. To worship Him. God is supposed to be your first priority. Are you with me? And if you seek the kingdom of heaven first, God will add, He'll take care of you. Isn't that right? He'll add all these things to you. He'll even add things to you that you cannot comprehend. Even carnal blessings, He will add them to you. Can you say amen? Put God first. That's what I counsel young couples with. It's a mistake for a new bride to put her husband first. It's a mistake for a new husband to put his bride first. Both of them should put God first. And then they'll work together. That'll be just right. Y'all with me? Okay. And there are others that I just want you to think about how faithful God is to provide for us. David said one time, he said, I was once young, now I'm old. And Becky keeps telling me I'm old. She keeps rubbing that in. Salt in the wound. And I look in the mirror and I have to acknowledge that. David said, I was once young and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. You hear me? God is faithful. Is He not? He's faithful to provide our needs. Faithful to provide jobs, homes, food, clothing, everything we need. Is He not? Great is Thy faithfulness. Let us trust in Him. And I'll say one more thing about this before I switch gears. Y'all, I want you to think back on your own life, and I want you to look back down through the years in your own life when maybe you perhaps were unaware, or well, maybe are less aware than you should have been of how God was with you. Maybe even through a trying time or a difficult time. Maybe even when you had wandered afar off and God was still with you and leading you and guiding you. And maybe it was a horrible time that you went through, but now you can look back and see God weaving His will through your life, even when you were unaware of it. Great is the faithfulness of God to be with us even when we don't understand it and know it. In fact, I'm not sure but what we're going to have to get to heaven before we realize how great God has been and how faithful He's been to us in our daily lives. Can you say amen? Oh, I think about how faithful God was to bring me a faithful companion. I was 28 years old and out of my mind. I'd about had it with the female gender. What? That didn't mean I was going to, be gender fluid or nothing. Gender fluid. What? Okay. But the Lord's timing is just right. Say amen. His timing is just right. We always get in a hurry, don't we? Did you know there are delays? Sometimes God promises a blessing, and there's a delay before you get the blessing. I was delayed a long time. Lived alone for 5 years. That's horrible. It's horrible. It is not good the man should be alone. But anyway, it took me a while to find Becky. How great is God? How faithful is God? My mom and dad said, pray, pray, pray. So I prayed. Why am I saying all that? I'm not trying to embarrass Becky. But look, I just want you to know God is faithful to take care of us every day of our lives. Do you believe me? Okay, let's tell you what let's do. Let's trust Him more. Let's worry less about the future. That's named it right at me. Let's worry less about the future and trust God, because great is thy faithfulness. God will not abandon us. Do you hear me? He will not abandon us. He will not leave us alone. He will be with us. I think about John. Well, I don't know about John. John was very young, and he got scared that Becky and I would leave him. He was like 3. And I kept quoting him, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And that's what God says to us. Can you say amen? God will never leave you, even if He's tanning your hide. In fact, when He's tanning your hide, He's doing you good. God is even faithful to chastise us when we need it. Brother Phillips, a wonderful prayer, asking God to be with us even in a chastening way if we need it. Great is thy faithfulness. Do you believe me? But now, that's not really what I want to talk about. What I really want to talk about is how faithful God was and how faithful He is to save His people from their sins. Matthew 1:21 is my favorite verse in the Bible. You know this very well. I've quoted it to you over and over because it's the whole Bible in miniature. She's going to bring forth a son, going to call His name Jesus. The word Jesus means Savior, by the way. And God doesn't lie when He named Him Savior. He was the Savior when He was born. Say amen, church. He was the Savior when He was born. He was the King of Kings when He was born. He was the Prince of Peace when He was born. Why did God have Him named Savior? He shall save His people. Who's He going to save? His people, that's the sheep. What's He going to save them from? From their sins. I ask you, was God faithful to do that? Was He faithful? Great is the faithfulness of God. Now, I want you to know that there was a covenant of grace before the foundation of the world. I want you to know God planned this work before He created anything. God planned this great work. We call it the covenant of grace. We call it the everlasting blood covenant. There are many things that we call it. Those are biblical terms, by the way, that we use to describe this council, this meeting that took place among the Godhead. And by the way, Godhead's all there was. I love to think about a time when Godhead is all there was. Don't you? Do you believe with me that there was an eternity prior to Genesis 1:1? And in that eternity prior to Genesis 1:1, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit is all there was. Isn't that great? This is the God of the Bible. And in that time, these three agreed in one to save His people from their sins. Okay? Now, this is described all the way through the Bible. Ephesians 1 is one of the best places. Romans 8 is another one. I may refer to these here in a minute. I don't know. But God planned His work. We call it the plan of salvation. He planned to save what I believe to be, according to the Scripture, the vast majority of the human race for heaven. Not just a few. Don't you ever believe that? He will have the preeminence in all things. This is a people out of every nation, kindred, tribe, tongue, and family under heaven. It's you hear me? Under every nation under heaven, it has always been that way. This is including people in the Old Testament before there was a church, before there was a Bible, before there were preachers, before there were priests, before there was anything. God had a people. And he determined to save them before the foundation of the world. I'm going to ask you, is and was God faithful to execute that plan? He was faithful. Now, the other thing I want to mention. In this council chamber, God Almighty, the Father, delegated responsibility. Did you know sometimes it's hard to delegate responsibility? Isn't it? I would rather do it myself and make sure I do it right. Any of you that way? Maybe some of you have an easier time delegating responsibility. In the council chambers, before the foundation of the world, the Father had no problem delegating responsibility to the Son because he knew the Son would do it exactly right. And the Father had no problem delegating responsibility to the Spirit because he knew the Spirit would do it exactly right. Because he knew God the Son would be faithful and God the Spirit would be faithful. These three are one. So God, in fact, God chose the Son. Do you believe me? This is an election. Isaiah, I tell you what, turn to Isaiah 42, just for the sake of me proving that. Isaiah 42 and 1. Isaiah 42 and 1. You know what just came to my mind? You know that song, "Have I Told You Lately That I Love You"? I want to say that to you this morning. Have I told you lately that I love you? Point or move? Friends and neighbors? I am not worthy to even be in here with you, but I'm glad I am. Isaiah 42:1 says, "Behold, this is God talking. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect." See that? That's not talking about me or you. That's talking about the Son, in whom my soul delighteth. Now I want to ask you, who was it that when he was baptized in the Jordan River, the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove, and the Father spoke from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Who was that? That was our Lord and Savior. This verse right here teaches that Christ was elect. He was chosen by God the Father, and he was chosen by God the Father to do something. Now the other proof I would give you on that is 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. 1 Peter 2 and 6, where it says, "Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious." Who's the chief cornerstone in the church? Church. Christ is the chief cornerstone. Remember, the other foundation can no man lay than that is laid. It is Christ. He's the chief cornerstone, and the 12 apostles are the foundation. There's no doubt that Christ is elect, chosen by God. Chosen by God to do what? God said to the Son in that covenant of grace, "Son, here's what I want you to do. You will be made flesh." Are you listening? You will be conceived in the womb of a virgin, and you will be born of her. And you will therefore be human just as much as you are God. Did God, was he faithful to execute that? Great is thy faithfulness. He said, "Son, you're going to be conceived of a woman. You're going to be human. You're going to live down there. This is of necessity so that you will not have a burden of guilt of your own, and therefore you will be able to bear the guilt of others. This is of necessity." That's the first thing. Second, Son, this is God talking to Christ before the foundation of the world, telling him what he's going to do. He said, "The next thing you're going to do." Are you listening, church? The next thing you're going to do, Son, you must live an absolutely perfect, spotless, blemishless, sinless life for the entirety of your life. for my people. I ask you, was Christ faithful to do that? Great is thy faithfulness. He was faithful to do it. I am blown away by the thought that Christ never committed a sin, not even one. Not a wrong word. Not a wrong thought. And as I've said to you many times before, he never even one time did the right thing for an ulterior motive. I want you to think about that. I'm so bad about it the other day, I took care of Chester hoping Becky would pay me attention. We do the right thing for the wrong reason all the time, don't we? Christ never did that. I ask you, was he faithful? Was the Son faithful to do this? He was faithful at every... He kept the... In other words, I'm telling you, he kept the law of God. He kept every single law of God to absolute teetotal perfection. Not in the sight of mankind, but in the sight of Almighty God. Can you imagine such a thing? I tell you, there is no way we can ever honor Christ enough for what he did just in living that life. Can you imagine it? And then, maybe more importantly than that, the Father said to him, the third thing you're going to do, you will be suspended between heaven and earth. And I, at the right time, will impute the guilt of all of the sheep to you. I will make you guilty of all they have done. And I will punish you for their sin. Was Christ faithful? Great is thy faithfulness. Christ was 100% faithful. God the Father was 100% faithful to execute. See, all this, I want you to understand now, all this was planned between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit before the foundation of the world. Are you with me? The plan of salvation. Then God worked his plan. Christ worked his plan. And they were totally faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. Hallelujah. And as I taught you here not too long ago, I learned this term from Brother Dickie Hobgoaks. There was a double imputation in the atonement on the cross of Calvary. Your sins were imputed to Christ. That is the most unimaginable thing you can ever imagine. And then not only so, that perfect, spotless, blemishless, flawless life was imputed to you. The atonement was a double imputation there on the cross of Calvary for everyone that was chosen before the foundation of the world. And that means many more people than will ever be churched. Say amen. Many more people than will ever have a chance to read a Bible or hear a gospel sermon. And a gospel sermon's a blessing, even if it comes from me. But I don't want you to think for one minute that the number of people going to heaven is limited by the gospel. It is not limited by anything other than what God said. Are you with me? And then, Christ was faithful to execute this. Great is the faithfulness of the Son. Was he faithful? And the Father, after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, God raised him from the dead, to prove to us and to the world that Christ had done everything that his Father sent him to do. Don't you ever believe anybody that ever tries to tell you that Christ didn't do everything he was sent here to do. Everything Christ came to do, he did. Why? Because great is his faithfulness. He's faithful to execute the will of the Father. And I'm just going to ask you to consider yourself, are you faithful to always execute the will of your Father? We must confess that we are not. And this is why God sent his only begotten Son in our room instead. Are you with me? In that council before the foundation of the world, God then delegated some responsibility to the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit was chosen as well. By the way, you talk about an unconditional election. Did you know election's unconditional? I'd love to talk. Oh, me. There's a whole bunch of unconditional elections in the Bible. A whole bunch. The animals that got on the ark. Did you know God chose them? Brought them to the ark. Noah didn't have to go out and gather them up. I know that's taught. Go read Genesis if you don't believe me. I want to ask you, were the animals that God brought to the ark any better than the animals that didn't get on the ark? They were no different. Who made the difference? God! Every preacher that's called to preach is an unconditional election. Are you with me? If I be so, it is most certainly not because I deserved it. Are you with me? So frequently God chooses knuckleheads to preach his word. Knuckleheads. Sometimes I think God chooses knuckleheads to prove he can work with a knucklehead. If God can get the message through a donkey, he can even work with a knucklehead like Gary Harvey. And aren't you glad the young people heard me say knucklehead? But by the way, may I say one more time? That's why kids should be in church. Kids do not need to be in the basement watching Barney. You know, babies can be born again. And babies can react to the preaching of the gospel in their spirit and soul, even if they're unaware of it. Say amen. I tell you, that's why God wants babies in church. Anyway, why am I? Okay. I was talking about the Holy Spirit, was I not? God said to the Holy Spirit, your job will be. By the way, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are always one. They're always on the same page. They agree on everything. They agree on everything. The other day, Becky cooked some turnip greens or something in the house. And I came home and walked in the kitchen and I ran it back out in the yard. The smell was so horrific. We do not agree on turnip greens. Yeah, say amen, church. Good grief, they're not fit for human consumption. But she loves turnip greens. I want you to think about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that agree on everything. They agree on everything. That's what it means when it says these three are one. That's what it means. So God the Father said to the Son, you're going to go down there and you're going to redeem all the sheep. He shall save his people from their sins. You're going to live that perfect life for the sheep. You're going to redeem the sheep. Christ did that. Then the Lord said in the council chambers of eternity, he said to the Holy Spirit, you, Holy Spirit, are responsible. Here's the responsibility God gave the Holy Spirit. You are going to apply that redemption to each and every one of the sheep at the moment of regeneration without fail. If I weren't Baptist, I'd yell. I'd yell loud too. It'd run you all out of here. Do you realize what I'm telling you? I'm telling you, God told the Holy Spirit to make application of the atonement to all of the sheep without the loss of one. Can you say amen? And the Holy Spirit is God. Are you with me? The Holy Spirit is just as much God as the Son, just as much God as the Father, and has the creation power to create you anew in the inner man, to make you a new creature in Christ. By the way, this was bought and paid for you by the death of Christ. And I'm going to use terminology here that probably is not accurate, but if that is true, if Christ bought and paid for your regeneration, your new birth, if he bought and paid for your new birth, God owes it to you because of what Christ did, not because of what you did. You understand me? Now that may not be exactly right, but may I say that if Christ bought and paid for the eternal redemption, the atonement, the new birth for people, if Christ purchased that for people and they don't get it, I think I'll be willing to say that God would not be faithful, and I would not be able to say, great is thy faithfulness. Great is the faithfulness of God. He said, the Holy Spirit, you are going to apply this to each one of the heirs of promise according to my schedule at my choosing, at the moment of my choosing. You want to know why? Because you're dead in sins. People that are dead don't make choices. Please say amen. Dead people don't do something. You know, dead people aren't even hungry. Dead people aren't thirsty. Any person that is hungering and thirsting after righteousness is already born of God. They've already been quickened into divine life by the Holy Spirit, which is God. Isn't that great? Now, the gospel has power, but the gospel doesn't have creation power. Come on now. Isn't that great? All right. Now, the one I want to read on that is Romans chapter 8. I want you to turn with me to Romans 8, where Paul describes this moment of regeneration in amazing terms. So in other words, Christ purchased this redemption for each one of the sheep. And at God's moment, and most of the time, y'all, according to Scripture, this moment of regeneration comes very, 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 very early in life. Because it's when love of God is put in your heart. It's when the laws of God are written in your heart. So you show me a person that loves God. Show me a person that knows right and wrong. I'll show you a person that has already been quickened into divine life. Are you with me? I ask you, is God faithful to execute his will? Was Christ faithful? Do y'all think the Holy Spirit's going to be faithful? Great is thy faithfulness, including the Holy Spirit. Now look at Romans. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, that means those that he loved beforehand. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now that means God predestinated that each one of them be conformed to the image of Christ. I ask you, is God going to be faithful to execute that will? Or is it left to chance? Is it haphazard? Is God in heaven wondering how this is all going to work out? You know, is he in despair? Because he may not, you know. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now that absolutely does not mean that God predestinates everything that comes to pass. That is heresy. God does not predestinate everything that comes to pass. God is not going to cause you to do meanness. You can do that yourself. A lot of times without much help. That's terrible to say that to a congregation. You don't need help being mean, do you? Most of us need help not being mean. We need help be mean, don't we? I have never known a parent have to teach a child to be mean to his or her sibling. Now Caleb laughed when I said knucklehead. I bet you Caleb didn't have to be taught to be mean to Rhett, nor Rhett to Caleb. I love them both. Do you hear me? I love those boys. I hope they lead. I love it when they lead singing. Say amen, church. I love it. I love them. But I guarantee you, they had to be taught not to be mean to each other by godly parents. The Lord does not predestinate everything that happens in this world, but He did predestinate that we be conformed to the image of Christ. And the reason the Lord did that, He's the one that had to do all the work anyway. That's all that means. God agreed to do this work. He planned His work, and He's working His plan. And the plan is the Holy Spirit to give eternal life to each one of them. Now, let me keep reading here. He predestinated them to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He, that is Christ, might be the firstborn among a few. Is that what the Bible says? That He be the firstborn among a few? It doesn't say that at all. That He be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate them, He also called. That's one of the ways that the Lord talks about being regenerated, effectually called. The reason is we call it effectually called, because it's called by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God calls you from death to life. This is not the gospel call. This is the effectual call of the Holy Spirit. I heard Ronald Lawrence preaching about this one time, and he said, this is the long distance call. The gospel is the local call. This is the long distance call from heaven where the Holy Spirit gives that child of God eternal life. And then, hopefully, they'll get a chance to hear the gospel and know what God has done to them. These people do not need to be told, born-again children of God, do not need to be told that they need to make a decision to be born of God. They already are. They need to be told that they may need to make a decision to follow their Lord and Master in obedience and honor Him. Them He also, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, that exact same number, He also justified. That means made them just, made them pure, made them sinless, made them holy in the inner man. Your new creature is in the image of God already. It is so in the image of God that it is ready to go to heaven the moment you're given eternal life. It doesn't have to hear the gospel. You don't have to go to church. It's ready to go to heaven the moment God gives you eternal life. And that's what it means there when it says, and them He justified or made pure, He also glorified. That inner man, that new creature inside you is glorified right now. It doesn't have to have anything else done to it to be ready to go to heaven. The only reason it isn't in heaven now is you're still breathing. And I'm not telling you, stop breathing. At all. See, He made this new creature subject to your flesh. It stays in there. It stays where God put it. John 6 says, don't turn to it. I'm not going to tell you the verse. This is the will of Him that has sent me. That of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing. Do you realize what that means? That means that the Holy Spirit is going to be faithful to execute the will of the Father. The Holy Spirit is faithful to impart life and righteousness and holiness and glorification in regeneration to each and every single one of the heirs of promise for whom Christ bought it. The Holy Spirit is faithful too. And this is how you love God. Did you know love is a fruit of the Spirit? By the way, you may not have known many people, you may not have ever even hardly known anybody that you could tell hated God. Purity hated God, but they're out there. I would dare say all y'all love God, And I would dare say all of y'all have loved God as long as you can remember. You know what that means? God gave you eternal life before you could remember. How does God do that? By the Holy Spirit, which is just as much God as Christ, just as much God as the Father. I should lose nothing. All right? God, great is thy faithfulness. Great is the faithfulness of God the Father. Great is the faithfulness of the Son to execute the will of the Father. Great is the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit to give life to each and every one for whom it was purchased. God is going to get what he bought. Say amen. Becky went to the grocery store and she bought some whipped cream to put in a smoothie for me because I'm trying to get down to my fighting weight. Not doing a very good job of it. She was going to make a smoothie for me, so she bought some whipped cream and she left it at Kroger. You know, that made her mad. She was mad about that. I said, well, you left it. She tried to blame the checkout girl. I said, you left it. Wasn't that mean to me? See, you don't have to have help to be mean. She didn't like it. She bought and paid for something and she didn't get it. Do you like that? Brandon doesn't like it. I don't like it either. Guess what? God don't like it. God is going to get each and every one that Christ purchased. Say amen. Let me put it this way. There's not going to be a single person in heaven that shouldn't be there. There's not going to be a single person in hell that shouldn't be there either. One last thing. What about our bodies? One day I'm going to die. And right now, I'm fine with that. Edward Cagle is at the feet of Christ. That's where I want to be. Don't you? And forgive me, my desire to go to heaven doesn't have a thing to do with having a family reunion up there. I don't want to go to heaven to see my ancestors that have gone before. None of that means anything to me. I want to go to heaven to see Christ. That's all. I just want to be at his feet. I want to be able to worship Christ like I want to now. I want to be able to worship Christ without any impediment, without any sin to keep me from it. Don't you? When you die, you go to heaven. One of these days I'm going to die. And if I'm the Lord's, I will absent this body and be with the Lord. But I want y'all to know Christ purchased our bodies as well. He says in one place, glorify your God in your body, which is the Lord's. Christ owns it. Christ owns your body just as much as he owns your spirit and soul. And I used to get so mad at my students. I've got to hurry up here. When I would counsel them, say, look, don't do that. That's not good for you. They would want to smoke dope. I would say, don't do that. They would want to get out of the bushes naked. Don't do that. And they would try to tell me, well, it's my life, it's my body. I'll do with it what I want. I said, it is not your body. It is bought with a price. Your body is not your own. It's bought with a price. Are you with me? Now, I'm going to tell you right now, God is faithful to redeem your body too. I don't have time to get to the scriptures, but just let me tell you, the Lord's going to come back and get us all. He's going to come back and he's going to resurrect everybody that's dead all at one time. Don't you think there's going to be two or three or seven resurrections? There's going to be one resurrection. Because the Lord purchased your body. Is God faithful? Do y'all reckon he's going to be faithful to come get our bodies as well? You can depend upon it. I thank you for your great attention. Let's sing two verses. I'm going to ask Seth to lead us in two verses of Amazing Grace as our invitation. And then we'll close out. Seth, if you just start us off. Amazing Grace.